Welcome to Salty and Bright's podcast. I am so excited to be here. I am looking forward to chatting and serving you guys.
Hello. Welcome, Karen. Thank you so very much for joining me. I am looking and I'm hoping, waiting for the others to join. But before you actually start, what I wanted to do is just share with my audience a little bit about Minister Karen Bromfield. She is our guest for today. She is a songstress, a minister of worship, and we're going to be talking about this really important topic, which is entering the presence of God through worship. And so this season of our podcast, it talks about intimacy with God, being intentional about seeking his face. And so we've been talking about all those different things. And so that was one of the reasons, Minister Karen, why I invited you, because there are so many different aspects, right? There's prayer, there's meditation, there's praise, and there's worship. So I want my listeners to get the full view when it comes to worship, when it comes to seeking God's face, when it comes to dedicating time with him. I want them to be able to get the full picture. And for those of out there who love to make a joyful noise, I want them to feel welcomed. Yes. So thank you so very much, Minister Karen, for joining us this evening as we talk. Well, look at that. Thank you, Arrows Internet Radio. Thank you so very much. But yes, we are going to be talking about entering the presence of God through worship. But Minister Karen, before we dive in, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself or a little bit about your walk with Christ?
Well, what do you want to know?
Well, start off with your background and what you do now.
Well, you know, God has taken me a mighty long way. You know, as a child, I was extremely shy. And I wouldn't say I'm totally out of it, but God has gotten me used to being before people.
Yes.
But yes, as a child, I was extremely shy. Loved to sing, but I loved to sing in the bathroom or maybe at home where, you know, my parents were used to it or my siblings were used to it. But as I got older, I realized what I was called to do. Yes. But it unfolded very little at a time. It wasn't something that just exploded, you know? And God is so merciful that way, because I think I would run if he showed me all that he wanted to do in my life. And
yes.
And so, you know, I have released an album. It was in the midst of COVID to 2020.
Yes.
I released my first album, which is My Heart of Worship.
Yes.
You can access it on iTunes or shop, you know, all the other platforms. And, you know, I also released in 2015 a devotional book, which is more like a prophetic devotional book.
Yes.
Hearing the voice of the Lord each day. And at the end of each day, you write down, what have you heard? So, you know, I was encouraged by the Lord at a very tough season in my life. And, you know, I would write down what he would say to me, all the loving, intimate words he would say to me. And I did that for quite a few years. Thought nothing else of it other than it's just between me and the Lord.
Yes.
And then after a while, the Lord was like, publish it. If it encouraged you, it could encourage somebody else. And so I've heard testimonies of people being encouraged by it. Each day it was like just for them. And only God could do that, because initially it was just for me. So so I've been writing songs for, I'd say, a good 15 years. Love the Lord, love the presence of the Lord, love seeking him, love everything about God. God has delivered me from the bondages that held me back, that so easily beset me. And he brought me into a place of freedom where I'm doing as I've been called to do, you know, really filling my own skin, you know.
Yes.
Just being in my own skin and being comfortable in that. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It just means that, you know, this fits you like a glove. It doesn't fit other people, and that glove doesn't fit other people, and I don't fit in other people's gloves, you know. But he has created it so that he has called me to be a prophetic worshiper. I write songs. I get downloads of songs all the time. So I could be in the bathroom, or I could be washing dishes, or I could be in the supermarket, and the Lord will give me a song, and I have to whip out my recorder and just download right there, you know. And so all my songs are original, and you know, just it just talks about the presence of the Lord, the closeness of the Lord, and how much he loves us, you know. And that's really my heart. I want people to know, I want people to be free, you know. I want people to be delivered and set free in the presence of the Lord, and I want people to know how much God loves you, flaws and all.
Yes, you're a woman after my own heart, because I do believe that that is my message that God has given me to share with others. But before you get into worship, how did you get to this place? You know, you explained about, you know, God downloading the songs to you, but how did you get to the place where you truly realize that God truly loves you?
Wow. Can I tell you, it was in the deepest valley. Yeah. And I know everybody doesn't want to hear. You don't want to hear that, right? You want to hear when you're on the mountaintop, when you're tiptoeing through the tulips and you're smelling the roses. No. You got to seek God and seek him deeply. You know, I was on my journey. I started my journey in Christendom 24 years ago. And I thought everything was going to be peaches and cream right after I got saved. What a deception. What a deception. Of course, right away, I started getting attacks from the enemy. Couldn't understand it. God, don't you love me? Why would you do it for somebody else, not me? And, you know, I wanted to know God. I wanted to know this God that I gave my life to more and more each day. And so what I would do, I would sing. I would go on a praise and worship team, because that's what I like to do. So I said, okay, let's start there. And, you know, I would continue on in that, but I would start fasting and praying on my own 1 day, 2 days, so forth, because I wanted to get to know this God. I'd wake up at midnight, you know, seeking this God, because I hear people hear his voice. And I'm like, how come I can't get to hear his voice? I want to get to know him. And so I would seek and seek and seek and seek. And the Bible tells us, when you seek, you shall find. Mm-hmm. And so I had many frustrations. But, you know, as it went on and I was doing my singing in different churches and so forth, I hit a roadblock. It was very challenging for me to be on a platform. As I said, when I grew up, I was very shy. So it was very hard for me to be on a platform. I didn't know the bondages that I was dragging along with me. Mm. I didn't know that I carried it like a suitcase. I didn't know how bound I was until I got free. And so when, you know, a time came in my life where I became very stressed and I started going through a lot in my body. Mm-hmm. And I was crying out to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and in that crying, and it wasn't a 1 day cry, it wasn't a 2 day cry, it was many months, I could tell you. Why are you having me go through mm-hmm. this? I don't understand this. And so one of the days I was laying on my couch, I said, God, please heal me. And I said, you know, I just started singing, healing waters flow through me, and I started singing in such a way that I've never sung before. I said, this is not a regular song. This is not, what kind of song is this? Yes. And so I grabbed my recorder. I'm glad I did, because I didn't dismiss it. I grabbed my recorder, went into my closet in my bedroom. I didn't even make it up to my prayer room upstairs. I just went into my closet. I got on my knees, because at that time I didn't have much energy. Got on my knees and I sang Healing Waters, which was my first release. In 2015, I released the single Healing Waters, and I sang for 6 minutes. I looked on the recorder and I was like, wow, I was singing for that long? Wow. And it was just healing water flow from your throne, from your mighty throne, from the great I am. And I just, after that, I couldn't get up off my knees. I just had to lay there, because the presence of God was so heavy.
Yes.
And his glory just came down in my closet with all my clothes and my shoes all over the place. He didn't care.
Yes.
He just came in and he just saturated that little closet with his presence. I said, something is different about this. It doesn't have a verse. It doesn't have a chorus. It just goes on and on and on. And that's when the birth of the prophetic worshiper came out in me. And so he started downloading more songs and so forth and so on. And in that season, I was getting songs every couple of days I was getting some songs. Mm. And I would just record it, and it sounded raw. It sounded real. It sounded tearful. It sounded hoarse throat. It just sounded horrible. You wouldn't want to hear them. But that was when it was just coming from heaven.
Yes.
And so, you know, I would ask the Lord to heal me. I would cry out to the Lord, heal me, heal me, heal me. And then I started writing my journaling, which I was doing before, was no longer me telling God about my day. It was now the Lord telling me about his heart, his love for me. He started speaking into my heart. He started speaking into my heart, and he started to tell me who I am. He started to tell me how much he loved me and how he created me beautifully for his glory. He started to talk to me like a lover will talk to another lover. And so I found the lover of my soul. I found the one who loves me completely. Doesn't matter where I've been, what I've done. He loves me totally, unconditionally.
Yes.
And in that time and in that season, as I just kept seeking him and crying out to him, and I started hearing. Yes. I became silent. And so I could take on his words, and I would write them down, and it became the devotional. And I'm telling you, I believe that in his presence, he healed me from every bondage. Yeah. He healed me from the things that were tying me and holding me back for many, many years. Wow. And so, you know, I just, you know, God is, he's the lover of my soul.
That is
he
so
saved me
beautiful.
And rearranged me, and he's
yes.
awesome.
Oh, thank you, Carrie Fish. That is so beautiful. In the presence where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty.
Yes.
And you, in your pressing in and in your crying out to God, he said, I hear you. Come to me, arise, my beloved, my darling. Oh, this wonderful. I love that. So based on your pressing in and from your journaling and God giving you, telling you how he feels about you, how he sees you, how much he loves you, and birthed these songs and gave you these songs, right? So now you're able to, what can you teach us from those experiences about entering into his presence? You mentioned that you were just asking him for healing, and you got this through you pressing in and crying out for healing. But what else can you teach us about worship and entering into his presence?
Well, might I add that it was 10 years that I had been seeking him before I got to that point.
Okay.
I was seeking him in many ways, you know, the word. I was seeking him sacrificing my time, fasting, praying, and so forth. We don't just come into the presence of the God willy-nilly. Otherwise, we'd all be in his presence. You don't have to do anything, right? We're talking about the manifested presence of God, you know, because his presence is everywhere. He is the creator. But that manifested presence of God that you will bask in, you know, where you feel that closeness, the warmth, the anointing, his glory that just presses on you where you can't even get up off your knees. That's not cheap.
Wow. That is not cheap.
It comes with a sacrifice.
It comes
with a sacrifice. And so if you want the presence of God in a mighty way, you gotta be ready for, if you want to walk with him, talk with him, you know, communicate with him, hear from him, you gotta be ready for sacrifice.
Yes.
Nothing else should compete with that. And so, you know, I'm glad that I went through the things I went through, because the end result is just a wonderful, see, and glorious walk with the Lord. Something that I found that I always treasure, and I wouldn't give it up for anything.
That is so beautiful. Thank you. I mean, this is amazing. It's an amazing testimony of you pressing into God. And I do believe it's really important for us to learn that it's not necessarily, you know, well, I prayed today and I didn't experience his presence. Okay, so pray somewhere tomorrow.
Exactly.
It didn't happen, so I guess it's not ever going to happen. No, we continue. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to rejoice always, and we're to be thankful. And so it's a pressing in. And I've always, in the scriptures, God always, he'll give you a glimpse and then he'll pull back.
Secret, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that is, oh my goodness, wonderful. So in terms of entering into his presence, you mentioned that it took years for you to actually experience a manifest presence of God. and there was the heaviness that you were on your knees and you couldn't get up because it was so heavy. Was there anything else you noticed about the presence while you were in that moment? Was there anything else other than the heaviness? Was there a smell? Was there a taste? Was there something you saw? Was it something else you heard? Was there anything else that you can share from that one particular experience?
In this manifest presence, nothing else matters. Your worries and cares roll away. That which was competing with his presence, it rolls away. It becomes secondary, tertiary. It's just nothing else can compete. That's why he says about his glory. None can steal his glory.
Yes.
He will not give his glory to another. So you can choose what you want to worship.
Yes, yes.
If you want to worship your job or money, or sometimes we worship our family members, sometimes we worship our spouses, our children, sometimes we worship, you know, books, even social media.
Yeah.
Sometimes we give time to that more than God, and God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you. He wants you to come, you
yes.
to choose, you to remove your idols. He says, I'm here. I'm not leaving, but you can choose who you want to serve. Choose you this day who you're going to serve.
Yes.
There is much benefit in his presence, but who is willing to make the sacrifice?
Mm.
Who is willing to make the sacrifice?
Wow.
We all want
wow.
the treasures of his presence. You know, I mentioned a story on Ara's internet radio about hearing everybody talk about, oh, I heard God said this and God said that. And I was very upset that I couldn't hear him, and this was in my early walk, and I would seek him, and I thought it would come in 5 minutes, and I waited 10, 15, 20 minutes. It didn't happen. I got mad and stormed out of the room. I was like, this is not working for me. I didn't know it was going to take a long time. I didn't know, because we have to peel off layers, the things that are first place in your life. God wants that first place.
Yes.
And it takes a while for us to let go of these things. He's just sitting waiting. When are you going to make me priority? When are you going to make me number one?
Wow. Yes. I learned in Songs of Solomon in where it says, my beloved said to me, you know, rise, come to me. It's that verse in Second Songs of Solomon 2, verse 11, I believe it was. And God wants us to spend time in his presence, and he wants to share his secrets with us. And one of the questions I posed earlier this week to my group, my Salty and Right ladies group, is how would you share your intimacy, your secrets with a man that you know is cheating and, you know, all over town with all other kinds of women, right? Would you then want to give yourself to this person in an intimate setting and share your secrets? And they're like, no, I wouldn't want to do that. So then why would God want to call you beloved, have you in this intimate setting, and share himself with you when you have all these other gods that you're worshiping? Right? God, he did explain, he is a jealous God. He does not want to share us.
Yes.
He wants to be number one. And so he wants to be number one. And in worship, a lot of times we may think of worship, and we may think of worship as I'm singing this song to God, I'm worshiping him, right? Or I'm giving this time to God, I'm worshiping him. What are ways that we're actually worshiping without even realizing that we're worshiping?
Well, you know, as I was reflecting this afternoon or this morning before coming on, worship without you realizing, worship is a lifestyle.
Ooh.
It's a lifestyle. It's not, you know, we have mistakenly defined it as hands raised. We have mistakenly defined it as singing. Whilst those things are nice and good, if you're bowing down, you kneel down, those things are nice, and it's included. It's a manifestation, an outward manifestation. It's a lifestyle of crucifying self.
Ooh.
And so that is all inward.
Yes.
And then it projects outward. You witness to first. It's your willingness, your daily surrender.
Mm-hmm.
It's your daily obedience unto God. It's your daily obedience unto his word and how he wants you to live out this life according to his words and precepts and laws. It is a lifestyle. And when you live this lifestyle according to his word, my goodness, you'll create such an intimacy with God that you'll hear his voice. He'll tell you secrets. He'll tell you the secrets. He will share his heart with you. Yes. Once you start holding idols in your life again, you'll find that intimacy starts to dissipate.
Wow. Wow.
And you start losing that intimacy. You start losing touch of his voice. You're not hearing his voice so much. I get scared when I don't hear his voice. I get scared because he speaks to me in dreams as well. So yes. I get scared when I'm not having a dream. I'm like, God, what happened? Where'd you go? Because I cannot do without you now. Just so you know, I cannot do without you. And so I will do what it takes. If you got to go into fasting and prayer and crucifying this flesh and its desires, that's what you have to do in order to maintain this intimacy. It is out of your intimacy with God, the sacrifices that you make, the surrendering that you do every day. It's out of that true worship comes forth. It's no longer about me. It's not about my flesh. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I want to look at, what I listen to. It's not about what I want to say. It's about what he wants me to do, say, and look at. And then my life becomes about him.
Yes.
That's true worship. He's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes. He's looking for those who will tremble at his word. That's what he says in his word. That's the one I look upon.
Wow.
So the question is, are you a true worshiper?
Mm.
Because if you are a true worshiper, guaranteed, you're going to enter into his presence. You're going to feel his manifested presence. You're going to feel his glory rest on you like a weight, where you can't stand, like in the book of Chronicles, when the priests couldn't minister because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. You are so in awe of this God. You can't even stand up. The power rests so heavily on you, you can't raise yourself up. And that's just a little smidgen of his power. Or bodies can't handle it. So the question is, are you a true worshiper? Because if you want the presence of God, if you want the glory of God, you want his manifested presence, it's going to cost you. Salvation is free, but his glory will cost you.
Wow. I like that. Salvation is free, but his glory will cost you. The presence of the Lord is not cheap, you shared with us. It is not cheap. It comes at a hefty price. Are we willing to pay that price? Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Wow. Power packed. I really am enjoying this conversation, Minister Karen. I'm not even going to joke. This is, you know, while you're talking, I'm getting all different kinds of things that will pop up in my mind and imagery. And I'm not sure if you had seen One Night with the King. It's the story of Esther.
Right.
And in the story of Esther, she could meet with the king at, you know, in his bedchambers as his wife, if she's summoned, or if that didn't happen, she would, you know, if she's not summoned, there's no way that she could actually go into his courts because she could face execution. So while you're talking, and it's like, are we coming to God as king, or are we coming to God as lover? There was a different strategy for each. If she wanted to visit with the king as his lover, there was a different strategy that she would have to orchestrate to set up that meeting, versus if she wanted to appeal to him as king, because she needed help with the rule that was coming. And also while you're talking, I'm thinking about, are we coming to God in the courts, through the courts as king, or are we coming to his bedchamber as he is the lover of our soul? And are we seeking that devoutness, that worship? Because that's what intimacy is. When you talk about knowing somebody, or you talk about knowing God, there's an intimacy. Yes, there's knowledge, and I understand the knowledge, but in the Old Testament, if you were to substitute intimacy where you see the word knowledge, it would blow your mind. Just a little bit.
Yes.
It would blow your mind, because knowledge doesn't really give the full picture of what knowledge is, because our English language doesn't give everything. It's not loaded in that one word.
Yes.
But intimacy will include knowledge. And that's why, when you're in his presence, sharing that secret. You're getting to know him. And worship is one way. And you mentioned it's not cheap. You know, a lot of times we think about worship and we're like, oh yeah, when I go to church, we sing a few songs of worship, right? Songs of praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, right? So we're thinking about these things, but truly, as you have mentioned, it is a lifestyle. The way I live, you know, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. This is a lifestyle movement. This is not a, okay, this is just for this time. I'm going to give this to God. You know, when I wake up, the 5 minutes, God, thank you for waking me up. Open the Bible, Jesus wept. Okay, I'm done. I'm good for the day. And then I run off into whatever else. But you are so right. And I've enjoyed everything that you shared, because God is looking for us to worship him in spirit
and in truth.
And in truth. Like,
you know, you could choose what kind of relationship you want with God. You could stay in the outer courts. He called you through the gates. You are his child. Okay, you said the sinner's prayer. And you could stay in the outer courts, but they're different chambers. Yes. They're different stages to get to his glory. There are different stages to get to really hear from the Lord, to know that he's well pleased with you, to yes. hear his voice. You could stay in the outer courts where you do lift up your hands and you dance around, and it feels good. But really, when you want to go all the way in to the chamber, when you want to know him intimately, mm-hmm. when you want to have that relationship where, you know, you could really You could hear his heartbeat. Woo! You know when he's pleased and you know when he's not pleased. Yes. Every movement he makes, you make it with him. You are walking with him. You're talking with him. It's an intimate love relationship. But there are a lot of believers who are in the outer courts and think that's enough. And think that's enough. That's too close to the gate for me.
It's
too close to the world for me. That gate was separating me between the world and it's too close to the world. I want to go all the way in. Because when I go all the way in, I get to know this God that I gave my life to. Don't you want to know this God that you gave your life to? Yeah, yes. You said the sinner's prayer, but don't you want to know him? Don't you want to know him in his fullness? It says in his presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And you know, some of us are comfortable staying at the gate.
Yes.
And he's saying, come on. I mean, there's so much I want to give to you. There's so much I want to share with you. Some of us are comfortable at the gate where we're still holding on to depression and not willing to make the sacrifices to go beyond that altar.
Wow.
And so you go beyond, and the tabernacle in the Old Testament was, it started with an altar. You get through the gate and there's a sacrifice.
Yes.
It was bloody. It was messy. But so is our flesh. Our flesh is pretty messy. We're messed up in a lot of ways. And he's saying, okay, this has to be killed.
Yes.
This has to be destroyed. The depression got to go. The anger got to go. The resentment got to go. The unforgiveness got to go. And it has to die here before you even get into my presence.
Wow.
And so the outer court is to kill that flesh.
Hallelujah.
And then from that point on, there is a wash basin. And he says the priests, after they did all that bloody work, they had to wash their hands, and that represented the word of God. Are you in the word of God?
Yes.
Is the word washing you every day, cleansing you from those iniquities? Is it getting to the root of your issues?
Mm. Yes.
And then once the priests wash, then they go into the holy place where the lamp burns every day, all day, all night. That's the light of God. Is it shining in your life? Is it shining in your life? Is it being reflected outwards? People can see. He's the light. It says, don't let this lamp go out. The lamp, they couldn't afford to let this lamp go out. They couldn't afford for that oil to go dry.
Yes.
And we are challenged with not allowing our oil to go dry each and every day. But what is it you got to do? You got to make the sacrifice.
Yes.
Got to wash with the word every day, and you walk into the holy place, and you have the lampstand with the oil, and then you have the showbread, which he is the bread of life. Are you eating of his word?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Sealing the outer courts, because this is a journey into his presence. And he taught the Israelites how to get to his presence, because they couldn't come any old how.
Yes.
They have fleshly issues just like us.
Yes.
And we're even in a better place. They had the physical tabernacle that they had to tear down and build back up every time they moved.
Yes.
And us New Testament believers, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of God. We carry the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't exempt you from seeking him.
True.
That doesn't exempt you from the journey that you have to take. So yes, you have to sacrifice flesh. Yes, you got to wash, and the washing is with the word.
Yes,
you got to chew on his word. That's the bread of life. Yes, you got to make sure that oil is there every single day, that the oil of his presence is being sought after. And when you go through those stages in the Old Testament, they get into the most holy place.
Ooh.
And the most holy place, only the priest, the high priest, could go there. And we have the privilege as New Testament believers to get there through the blood of Jesus Christ. Free access. The veil has been torn. And he says, come on in. And we're still at the outer courts.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And he said, I have so much for you. But you're not willing to lay down your idol. You're not willing to sacrifice your own desires.
Mm.
I have so much for you in my presence.
Oh, Jesus.
But you're staying bound.
Mm. Mm.
Right out there. Not willing to make the sacrifice.
Wow. This is really deep. I'm just soaking in what you're saying, Minister Karen, because what you are saying is the truth. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have the blood of Jesus that cleanses us so that, you know, when we get into Holy of Holies, we are safe. It's, you know, the way it's been described is, if you look at the sun is beautiful, the sun is powerful, but the sun can be dangerous. If you get too close to the sun, it can be dangerous. And so all these Levitical laws were put in place so that the people could be safe in the presence of God, because he truly desires to be amongst his people. He's like, look, sin separated us, but I want to be amongst you. I want to be in the midst of you. I want you to come and visit with me. And he's setting up all of this, but his presence, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're not clean. It's unsafe for us. You know, people, we saw where Aaron's sons went in, they lit strange fire and they were poof, that was the end of them. You know, you can't come into the presence of God willy-nilly any old way. You have to, because he's a pure God, he's a holy God. And we cannot, in our impurities or our uncleanness, come into his presence and not die. But thanks to Jesus, Jesus has created that way so that when God looks at us, he's seeing us through the righteousness of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
But you are right. Some of us now aren't even coming to where we can even get to the Holy of Holies now. We're still out there in the outer courts where we're one step away of just being in the world, or one step away of continuously being in bondage.
Yes.
But God is calling us, people. God is calling us. So Minister Karen, if there are people who are listening or who will listen, who they're entertaining the altar courts because they feel like, say, yes, I said yes to Jesus. I said this in a prayer. It's all good now. I'm safe. I have my fire insurance. What would you say to encourage those people who are being satisfied or content in the altar courts when God is calling us? He's saying, come to me. God is calling us to seek his face. You can't do that from the altar court.
Right.
You have to go into the Holy of Holies. He's calling us to, how would you encourage that person to move, get moving?
Well, I want to let you know that the intimacy is not a choice. Intimacy with God is not a choice, because you're either going to yield to his spirit or you're going to yield to a whole lot of other spirits. Which one are you yielding to in your daily life?
Wow.
Because sometimes we're carrying bondage, and the mere fact that we're carrying bondage, it means that you are somewhat yielding to these spirits. And the Bible tells us that there is a man, and Jesus spoke this, there was a man that came to him and said, Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out demons in your name?
Yes.
And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. And new means we weren't intimate. We weren't close. When I wanted to spend an hour with you, you spent an hour somewhere else. When I called you in the midnight hour, you didn't awaken because you thought something else was more important. When I told you to fast, it will kill your flesh and the other bondages that are holding you back from me, you didn't do it. He says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And iniquity is a deep-seated sin, deeply rooted. And you yield to that sin. You yield to that spirit. It may not be your fault. It may be generational, whatever it may be. But when you yield to that spirit, you're no longer yielding to the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
So are you working this iniquity? Are you yielding to this spirit? Are you yielding to the Spirit of God? We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because there is a God who could put your soul in hell. And that's the reality. It's the reality. We don't like to hear it. We don't want to hear it. Sounds like an ultimatum. But God is a holy God, and he will not tolerate sin. And he made the first step. He made that step of providing his son, Jesus, who shed his blood. And now he sees us through the blood of Jesus. But there's a sanctification process that we must carry out along our journey.
Yes. Yes.
And if we don't carry out this sanctification process, guess what? You're going to continue to yield to the spirits that was in your old man.
Ooh. Wow.
If you don't deal with this, it will take you over.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
And so it is important that we seek after intimacy, because nothing can get in the way when you're in that manifested presence of God. Everything else has to burn up.
Yes.
Seek after his manifested presence. Seek after intimacy with God.
Yes.
It keeps you in that place of holiness. It keeps you in that place of holiness where he's pleased with your walk. You hear his voice. You hear him say, go there, don't go there. Do this, don't do that. He will help you to remain blameless. So that comfortable place, let me tell you, the Christian walk is not comfortable.
Yes.
It's not supposed to be. If you're comfortable, you need to ask yourself some questions. Because when the disciple asked Jesus, oh, we want to follow you, he said, you sure? Are you sure? Because foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you sure?
Mm.
So this Christian walk is not supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be comfortable. If you're not being challenged by the word, and you're not being challenged by the Spirit of the living God to do as he's asking of you, my question, are you a sheep?
Yes.
Are you a true worshiper? Because he says that that's who the Father seeks, the true worshipers.
Wow. Wow.
So I really feel that a lot of us were deceived. And I came into this understanding with time. It wasn't overnight.
Yes.
But, you know, I think a lot of us are deceived to believe that, okay, you just enter in the gate and the work is done. You don't need to do anything. Just show up to church, come back home once a week, you're good.
Yes, yes.
He said, be holy as I am holy, and without holiness you shall not see me.
Wow. It's like going, you know, trying to get toned and be fit, but you're going to the gym once a week.
Yeah, what does that do?
Absolutely
that
nothing.
Doesn't work. I've tried that.
Yeah.
It does not work.
You know, the when Paul, in his letters to the Corinthians, to the Philippians, to the Colossians, he called them the beloved, and we are the beloved of God. But as the in one sentence right after he calls the Corinthians the beloved, the first thing he says is stay away from idolatry. The next thing he tells himself is cleanse yourself. You need to be holy. You need to be set apart. So these are things that, moving from the outer court into the inner court, are things that we need to walk in obedience. We need to work out our salvation. We need to avoid anything that offends God. We need, and these are all the different things, as as he says, beloved, he's telling them these things. Like, yes. Yeah, you're beloved. Make sure you take care of these things. Stand firm in the Lord. Be holy, set apart, put on kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are all the things that Paul was telling the new church, as he calls them the beloved, which beloved is yada yada, which is hand in hand. Mm-hmm. You know, as we seek the face of God and as we seek intimacy with him and as we seek to know him, these are very, very important things. And one of the last things I thought about as you talked was, is you're all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Yes. You're all, does the Spirit control?
Yes. You know, I'll share this with you. I knew of my obvious bondages. I knew the things I struggled with. But one thing that was not really apparent to me was my emotions. I'm, you know, very sensitive, and God has made me this way for a reason. I didn't know this because I am very sensitive to his presence, and I'm a worshiper, you know, just a prophetic worshiper by calling. And I realized that I would make decisions out of my emotions. If I wasn't comfortable, I wouldn't do it. If I felt okay, then I would do it. If I felt angry, if I felt fearful, all these different spirits that I was yielding to, instead of being obedient to God, I was bound by. The idol that I had was my emotions. I would yield to my own emotions, do what I want, when I want. I was carrying out my life, my Christian walk, my way, according to what was comfortable for me. And the Lord had to show me that's an idol.
Wow.
Idol has to be killed.
Yeah.
It's not about you. And it doesn't matter how you feel when it's being killed. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Because when you kill it, you're no longer yielding to it. You're now yielding to the Spirit of God. You have to make your choice. Are you going to live for him? Or are you going to live the way you want?
It's a
choice. It's a choice. Yes. And so he wants us to tear down our idols. The Bible tells us in Psalm 24, King David says, who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? It says, he who has clean hands. What does the clean hands mean? It means you've been washing with the word every day. Every day. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. What does a pure heart look like? You meditate on his word. The Bible tells us, Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, I hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. It means I'm meditating on the word day and night. So if I think about doing something wrong, there is the word of God right there as a measuring stick.
Yes.
So King David is saying, who may stand in this holy place? One, he who has a clean heart.
Clean hands.
And he who has a pure heart.
Yes.
And another is that who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. What's your life? Lifestyle like? How many idols do you have that will try to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, that competes with the word of God inside of you? How many idols do you have? Is God really your first, number one? Are you living that lifestyle of fasting and praying? Because fasting will kill your flesh. Fasting and prayer, because the flesh likes to be comfortable. So who can stand in this holy place? He says, be holy as I'm holy. Who can stand in this holy place? He who has clean hands, pure heart, not lifted up his soul unto an idol, and was not sworn deceitfully. What's your mouth sounding like? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks a whole lot of things sometimes you don't want it to speak.
Yeah.
And so who can stand in this holy place? And it's a journey. It is a journey.
Yes.
But this is the standard that God is looking for.
Wow.
This is the standard that God is looking for. He says, be holy as I am holy. Without holiness, you cannot see me. And holiness is not wearing a long skirt.
No.
Holiness is not doing without earrings. Because God looks at the heart. and not the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And so it is important that we understand that if you want to get into the presence of God, if you're seeking after the presence of God, it's going to cost you something. Are you ready? Are you ready? You want to be intimate with him? You want to hear his voice? You want to get a download from you? You know, we all want the pleasures of being in his presence, but we don't want to make the sacrifices to be in his presence. It's going to take too long. I'm hungry. My show is going on right now. But God is like, okay, it's up to you. Where do you want our relationship to be?
Yes.
Is that how you would do a marriage? Because this is pretty much, this is a marriage. Jesus and the bride. You are his bride. Do you want your relationship with your spouse to just be left up to what the people see at work? Or you want to take it all the way into the bedroom? Do you want to work towards that? This is the same thing. Jesus is saying you can stand in the outer court all day if you want, every day of your life on this side of heaven, but you never get to know me.
Yes.
And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yes.
You're a worker of iniquity, wanting to do things for yourself.
Thank you, Minister Karen. I mean, so you have given us a lot to think about. You have given us a lot to ponder. You have challenged us, really challenged us, because worship is not the three or four songs we sing when we go to church. Worship is a lifestyle, and this lifestyle, the presence of the Lord, is not cheap. The presence of the Lord requires sacrifice. A lot of times when we think about having idols, we're thinking about the little carvings. We're not even thinking. You gave the example of your emotions, that you worshiped your emotions because you operated based on how you felt and not based on what God said. And that is important for us to realize that idols are things, some of these things that we do not see.
Exactly.
We cannot see emotions,
exactly,
but we're operating off of our emotions. And so we have to be very careful that we're not setting up idols all over the place, or that we're not worshiping all these different things instead of seeking God, instead of doing what he says to do. Because there are lots of things, it's not bad that you do them, but did God say you should do them, right? Yeah. Did God okay that, right? Exactly. And is he directing your life? Is he directing every step of your life? Or, you know, God, you can direct this aspect, my home life, my work life, or you can direct this part, but this particular aspect of my life, the relationship I have with this other person, you don't have any reign, you don't have any say. This is mine and mine alone, and you're not invited here.
Yes.
Now, is that an idol against God? Because we set things up that we don't want God in this part. Could be because it's sin. Could be because we just feel it's ours. But well, God wants all of it.
He says, he who holds onto his life will eventually lose it. You want to keep your life your way, eventually eternal life is not yours. And he who wants to give up his life for the Lord's sake, you will gain life. You give up, you will gain that eternal life. You try to hold on and hold back and do your life your way, the way you want to do it, it's not going to work. You will eventually lose that eternal life. And so he wants you to come and make him priority. Number one, create that intimacy. And from that intimacy comes forth a true worshiper. And that intimacy is, I obey, I follow, I hear you, I spend time with you, I make sacrifices unto you. Nothing competes, nothing is more important, nothing is more special than you and my relationship. And when you develop that, you become a true worshiper. When you become a true worshiper, you will bask in the presence of the Lord. The glory of the Lord will rest upon your life in ways you've never known. And that's what he wants to share with you.
Yes.
He wants you to experience that, but it takes sacrifice.
It takes sacrifice. And this is not a suggestion. God calls us to spend time with him. He wants us to seek his face. In the Psalms, it says, seek my face. You said, seek my face. And my heart said, your face, Lord, would I seek. He wants to spend that time with us. So if you are listening now, or if you are listening to a replay of this broadcast, and you are not in the place where you are enjoying intimacy with God, you are not in the place where you know him at all. You're not in the place where you've even decided to live for him. You haven't decided to exchange his life for your life, your life. You have not exchanged that. You have not sacrificed the yourself in terms of the flesh, the what I want to do, instead of living for me versus living for God. You have not made that decision, but you would like to make that decision. You have heard what Minister Karen has shared, and she has shared the beauty of intimacy and what it requires for you to have to walk in intimacy, because God desires that we worship him in spirit and in truth. Those are the worshipers that God is looking for. And if you are at the place now where you're saying, now is the time, God has really spoken to my heart today, and I am making that decision to move from the altar court and get familiar with the Holy of Holies. I want to be in that place where I am hearing his voice, where he's downloading his secrets to me. I want to sacrifice my time. I want to fast. I want to pray. I want to wash with the word. I want to do all of these things. If this is you and this is what you want to do, we would want to welcome you in this moment to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, to say yes to intimacy with God. And so, Minister Karen, I'm just going to ask you to take this time to just pray for those who are wanting to take that step of faith. And if they've already taken the step of faith, but are dedicating themselves to intimacy with God and moving to the Holy of Holies, I'm going to ask you to pray for them.
Amen. 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 You will not be disappointed. The Lord does not disappoint. His presence here on earth is heavenly. And that was his plan, that we will experience him. Once you accept him, his Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. Yeah. And the more intimate you are with him, the more you experience his manifested presence, where there's great intimacy and pleasures forevermore, right here on this side of heaven. This was his plan. This is his plan. And we're just going to pray right now. Father, we just give you thanks, oh God. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who came, was crucified, died, was buried, rose again, seated at your right hand, completed the work on the cross. So, Lord God, that man will be redeemed back unto you. Man will have access to be with you eternally. So, Lord God, we thank you for the gift of salvation. But Lord God, your word says that we ought to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, that we ought to go through the sanctification process to rid ourselves, oh God, of the things that hold us back from an intimacy with you, Lord God. Father God, for those who have not known the Lord, for those who don't have a relationship with the Lord, Father God, we just pray, Lord God, that you'll touch their hearts right now. We pray, mighty God, that the soil of their heart will be so fertile, that every word that was spoken this evening, oh God, it will take root in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That they will give their heart to you completely, oh God. That you will not just become their savior, but you will become their master and Lord. Mm-hmm. Mighty God, we just ask you, Lord God, to find those hearts that are listening right now in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And those hearts, those persons, just say, Lord, I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Cleanse me of all my sins. I believe that in the work that you did on the cross just for me. And I accept you in my heart. And for those who have said the sinner's prayer, but have not had an intimate walk with the Lord, that is so desirous, mighty God. Father God, we just ask you, Lord God, that you, Lord God, will start to plow the hardness of the heart. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. that Father God, you begin to woo them, Lord God, because as you draw them, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, mighty God, Lord God, draw them, Father God, and they'll come running. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. So, Father God, we pray, Lord God, that those who are listening, Father God, in that position will have a rededication of their life, a newness, oh God, like never before. Mighty God, they will see, Lord God, their your requirements, your standards, oh God. Lord God, that the scales will come off their eyes. Every deception about the Christian walk will die now in the name of Jesus. And they will know and they will hear your voice calling them and summoning them by name in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray, no matter who it is that's listening, that your love will find them. You said, Father God, that if we go to the uttermost parts of the earth, you'll find us there. Lord God, if you go to the bottom of the sea, or if we find ourselves, oh God, in hell, you'll find us there. There is nowhere that we go, Lord God, that you will not find us. Your love, mighty God, is unconditional. Lord God, we pray that your love will find each and every person listening today. Lord God, that you will change hearts, renew minds, bring truth to each person's heart, Lord God, that another step will be taken towards the Holy of Holies, towards an intimate space with you, Lord. We just give you thanks, God. We give you praise, and we cover each person. We cover every ear listening under the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord God, that the words that have been implanted, that the enemy will not snatch it, oh God, will not steal it, Lord God, but it will flourish, Lord God, and it will bear much fruit. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. In the mighty and the precious and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and King. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. So Minister Karen, I know that you have a prayer group that you guys meet Monday through Friday at 6:30 to 8
No, 6:30 to 8 in the morning. We do have an intercessory team, and whoever is interested and wants to join us for the first time, we encourage you to join us on our Fasting Fridays, where it's an international telephone number. So wherever you are, anywhere in this world, you can use this telephone number and you can join in and listen in or take part in the fasting and prayer. And that's 6:30 in the morning. We will start and we finish at 8 in the morning on the Friday, midday session also on the Fasting Friday, and the 5 o'clock session on the Fasting Friday. So we ask you to join that and get a feel for the group. And if you want to continue with us, then you could definitely join in on our Monday through Thursday local line. So our international line, I could give it out right now, is 520-453-7183. That's 520-453-7183. And so you can join us, fast and pray, and get close to the Lord, get intimate with the Lord. And it's a journey and it takes time. And I encourage you to just join us, and our team, our intercessory team, is ready to pray with you and encourage you.
Thank you, Minister Karen. This was definitely a call for us to get moving, get out of our comfort zone. And move, run toward the Holy of Holies. Thank you so very much for your time. Thank you so very much for your message, your beautiful story. And I will share this number for those who are wanting to get on the calls in the mornings, because, you know, sometimes it helps when we hear other people pray if we're needing to develop or how to pray and things like that. So I appreciate that. And I thank you. I know I will have you on again, but I thank you for being on today, and you enjoy the rest of your afternoon. And thank you for everyone who has joined or everybody who will listen to this broadcast later. Bye.
Bye. Thank you. God bless.